Let's please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings 21:1 as we're going to be starting the book of Habakkuk. Last week, Dustin taught on Joseph being a type of Jesus, and the week before that, we finished Philippians. And now we're starting Habakkuk, which we haven't done on a Wednesday night since 1998. That was a long time. And we haven't done it on a Sunday till 2009, so I'm always looking to do books that we haven't done for a long time. So this hasn't been taught at this church since 2009, so we're talking 14 years, if I got my math right. I hope so. And it's the second to the last of the minor prophets. So you're going to Kings right now, but if you're one of those that gets lost about which small book of the minor prophets to find, you might can look at your table of contents and cheat, because we'll get there sooner or later. And the way they, you know, the way the Bible's laid out after Psalm, Proverbs, etc., the prophets, the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And then following them are the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and then Habakkuk and Zephaniah. And Habakkuk was written, they think, about 2 years before the first Babylonian invasion of Israel, of Judah, Jerusalem, where they took away 10,000 captives. So that Babylon did. So Babylon had three times. They went into Jerusalem and they said, okay, we took care of you. We're going to go back home. We're only going to take a few thousand of your people and be nice and give us money. And then that got rebelled against by a following king, and they went and did it again. Came back and said, be nice. Then Zedekiah, he also rebelled, and that's when Babylon said, okay, we're done. You don't know how to be nice and give us money, so they destroyed Jerusalem. So Habakkuk wrote 2 years before that first invasion of Babylon. And we'll read that in the timing of Hezekiah. And everybody should have had their handout on that. And this will be in the notes on the website for those. And it's coming from Thomas Nelson Publishers, the Open Bible Expanded Edition. And so I'm going to read what you should have in your hand as a handout that was on the chair as you were coming in. The only explicit time reference in Habakkuk is to the Babylonian invasion as an imminent event. So Babylon had not yet invaded. It was just imminently coming. Some scholars suggest Habakkuk was written during the reign of Manasseh or Ammon, which is way earlier, and we're going to look at what happened in Manasseh's reign. So that was several decades earlier. Because of the list of Judah's sins in 1, 2 through 4. However, the description of the Chaldeans indicate that Babylon had become the world power, and this was not true in the time of Manasseh. During the time of Manasseh, the Assyrians ruled. And so if Habakkuk is being told Babylon's coming to judge, then that would make sense that it was written during Manasseh's reign, where all the evil and wickedness was taking place that Habakkuk was seeing. But see, the evil wickedness under Manasseh got replaced by a revival, and then under Josiah, and then it went bad again. And so then it was bad, then good, then bad. And so wickedness came again. It is also unlikely that this prophecy took place during the time of King Josiah, after Manasseh, because the moral and spiritual reforms of Josiah do not fit with the corruption that Habakkuk was grieving about. So the most likely date of the book is in the early part of Jehoiakim's reign. And Jehoiakim was a godless king who led the nation down the path of destruction. And there's verses, references there in Kings, which we'll be looking at. And Babylon began to rise in power during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And then when they destroyed Nineveh of the Assyrians, and then by the time of Jehoiakim, Babylon was the uncontested world power, and Nebuchadnezzar's successor was Nebuchadnezzar, who is famous because, you know, they didn't really mention in the Bible Nebuchadnezzar, because it was Nebuchadnezzar that was king during Daniel's, during the book of Daniel, came to power in 605 BC and took people away, successful military campaigns, including against Judah. And he took a bunch of people at that time, as it says in your notes. And then what I did is underneath, that's what the Open Bible says. Then I have listed the kings and their dates just to help you with your own study. And hopefully everybody will go and read those sections of Kings and Chronicles, if you haven't done so. Because it's hard, biblical history of the kings is just so incredibly important. To understand the prophets, the major and minor prophets are all wrapped up in the history of the kings. So, and I would say the minor prophets are followed by the last three books of the Bible, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and they were prophets after the Jews were sent into Babylon. They're called post-exilic prophets. So there's major prophets, minor prophets, post-exilic prophets. And so here's a summary of the book of Habakkuk. God says, how long are you going to... It's like us today. God, did you see what happened in Philadelphia? These roaming mobs of people just completely cleaned out major corporate stores today down to nothing. There is nothing left, and the police didn't do anything about it. Or how about the guys that, one of the prosecutors that was prosecuting these January 6th people, this guy on the highway, smacked his car, and so he got out and started knifing him through the window. Had his window down, and he's starting to knife the guy. That's what's happening today, and all the murders, and look at what's going on in Seattle, and the homelessness, and all the crap. God, don't you see? Our nation is falling apart. Sin and wickedness is everywhere. And God says, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it with Babylon. And then Habakkuk goes, Babylon, they're idol worshippers. They're wicked. I mean, they're just destroying everybody. I mean, Israel will be gone. We'll be destroyed if Babylon comes and takes care of us. They're a superpower. They're going to wipe it. God, you can't do that. You got to be merciful to your people. And God says, I will be merciful. There'll be a remnant because I'm going to deal with Babylon. And so then today, so this is how it's so applicable to today. God was bringing the judgment because he had to judge Judah. Because of all the wickedness that we're going to see in our background investigation. And he had to deal with the wickedness, and he used a global superpower that was wicked to do it. And so what's happening today? There's a global wickedness that's happening. God's going to judge it. How is he going to do it? With a mystery Babylon. He's going to bring mystery Babylon. You guys don't want me. You want to just worship idols and the lusts and pleasures of the world. I'm going to bring a global system that the world's going to think this is what we need is globalism minus God, where we will rule by our own technology. As Noah Harari says, there's a technological revolution coming, and the people that don't get into this technological revolution where we can control you, the ability to hack humans because we have all the data power, we have the medical knowledge, we have the computing power and databases, we can now hack you and control the world without God. That's what he says. And God's going to say, yeah, I'm going to let, that's what the world wants, that's what the world gets. And then we would say, but the whole world would be destroyed. No, because I come back. Jesus comes back. And there's a remnant. So this is like huge in that we're on the very cusp, just like Habakkuk was on the very cusp of that judgment coming. We are on the very cusp of global judgment coming by Jesus because we see we see Babylon growing. We see them coming to power. We're going to see very soon the uncontested power of the Babylonian, the mystery Babylon global kingdom of the Antichrist coming. And so we're going to look at the background, though, by going back in history before Habakkuk to the time of Manasseh. And so 2 Kings 21, verse 1, because this is the guy, this is the wicked king that God said, okay, that's it. There's going to be judgment. There's no mercy. I mean, I am not going to change my mind what this guy did. Makes it so judgment has to come to Judah. And he's King Josiah's grandfather. And Josiah brings revival later on, but Josiah's grandfather was 12 years old when he took over. Don't let your 12-year-olds become president. He's a good example for that. He became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. In other words, God is saying he was so wicked that he was like the Canaanites. You know, so this goes back to the days of Moses and the Exodus. And what does God tell Moses? I'm going to send you into the land of Canaan. And when you get there, you completely wipe them out. You burn all their idols. You destroy everything because their wickedness, the wickedness of the Amorites is now complete. And so Joshua comes in and they conquer them because of their wickedness. What God is saying about Manasseh is you're just like a Canaanite. You've turned the nation of Judah into being like a Canaanite. And you're doing the same wickedness that they did. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. His father was a revivalist. Hezekiah was a good king. And he tore down the high the idol places and raised up altars for Baal, you know, false gods, idols, made wooden images, which are phallic symbols, dealing with immorality, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. High places. Today, you know, in the equivalent, what would the high place? It would be orgy places. You go to a high place, you're closer to God, you know, in your New Age thinking. That's what people want to do, to the high places, and then they would look for shady trees, and then they would have their idols there, and that's where they would do their thing. And in America, we're not so much on the high places, but what do we have? We have the bars, we have the porn places, we have the movie theaters, and the smut, and everything else. And that's what he brought. He brought, let's bring the smut in, the wooden images, astrology. Has astrology and New Age thinking and tarot card readers and everything else exploded in our culture? And people are just after that. Oh, Jesus, no, I have crystals that control my life. I have this that controls my life. It's just unbelievable how people don't want a single word about God or the Bible or about Jesus. But they'll listen to any other lies of the demons on how to control their lives. And he also built altars in the house of the Lord, to which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. So he built pagan altars in the house of the Lord. Now, that would never happen. Christian churches would stay Christian, right? I mean, of course, Christian churches would always teach the Bible, and they would stay with the doctrines that Jesus gave us because they're Christian, right? They would never say, okay, we're, you know, you Muslims, you can come into our church building and you can teach about Allah. And so we'll join with you because we just want to be good people and we'll call it Chrislam. And that's, you know, what they call it, the Chrislam. And so that's what Manasseh was doing. Let's bring into the house of the Lord that had very detailed requirements of exactly how to worship the God of Israel. And he brought the pagan rituals of pagan spiritual worship into the very house of God in Jerusalem. It's happening in the church today. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he made his son to pass through the fire. And that means burned his son. Sacrificially killed his son. In offering to idols. And the practice was, you're in temple prostitution kind of situations. A baby is born through that. The temple prostitution is temple to demon spirits, to idols. And so then they would devote that baby to Baal. They would burn him. And yet, the sexual revolution cult situation that we have, what do you call it, Dustin? The pagan sex cult of our culture is doing the same thing. We want to be able to do whatever we want. If there's an inconvenience of a child, we burn it. We kill it. And see, we have to emphasize this again because this is God's view of it. And it brings judgment. He made his son to pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So, soothsaying, witchcraft, does the government in certain ways subsidize and embrace the culture of all the witchcraft coming out of Disney? All the paganism and the occultism and the, how about drug? Is the government involved at all in the soothsaying sorcery associated with giving free drugs to people? Two hours ago, I was talking to a security, McDonald's in Tacoma is hiring security people just to try and bring enough security. People want to buy a hamburger at McDonald's. And I say, so how's your world? And he goes, oh, he's showing me the pictures. He goes, this is a lady, and she's just stumped over like this, and she's high on fentanyl. And then another one that's just completely out of it, on the lawn at McDonald's, high on fentanyl with her tinfoil that she used to cook her drugs. Another lady, he goes, when I went up to this one, I thought she was dead, because her pants were halfway down, and she was just laying there like out of it. I mean, he thought she was dead. And this is just one McDonald's that's down in Tacoma. And you can go to Philadelphia. There's people, Dustin was telling me, and so did Nicole Reed. I forgot her last name now. Nicole Reed, she was telling me that there's a section in Philadelphia that is absolutely zombiesville. People literally, and then Dustin showed me a video. People have gone down the road and they just, for minutes, they're just taking all these people and they're just standing over, and it's like when you're high on fentanyl, you just bend over and you're a zombie. And you could go over to Seattle and see the same thing. Is the government involved in helping people get drugs? Yes, absolutely. They're bringing it across the border because it's part of the plan to destroy this country. And Manasseh was making sure that happened as well, because he was inspired of Satan, and Satan wants to destroy. Glorifying witchcraft, Harry Potter, contacting the dead, legalizing drug use. 2 Kings 21:7. He even set a sacred image of Asherah, the Asherah pole, a sex goddess, that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more in the land which I gave their fathers. You guys are wandering for hundreds of years, and I finally gave you a land and gave you a city. And I gave you a place where I would dwell to be in your midst, to allow worship to take place on Temple Mount. And you're allowing homosexual pastors. You're allowing lesbian pastors. You're allowing transvestites. You're allowing actually accolades to that in the church. We were just meeting with a pastor in Tacoma this week, and he's renting a facility of a church. And they also rent to the Girl Scouts. And those Girl Scouts were all, they came into the building that he rents as a church too. And so they're using the building on their hours. And they put up all the pride flags and everything else like that. And, because that's what Girl Scouts has turned into. And so then the pastor, who he had made the contract with and had a great relationship with and everything, the pastor said, "Nyet, no, you're Girl Scouts. That's it. You're not social. You're not going to change society here in this church." And those Girl Scouts went out and just lit off social media, and the church leadership fired the pastor. Yeah, fired the pastor, and said, "You have given us a bad name." So now this pastor in Tacoma, he has to say, how can we still meet in this place? Because they keep coming and they keep doing the same thing, and they disdain when they come in. They disdain the church that they know is part of holding on to What was the term that they say you're after? You're just after people's souls instead of. Anyway, they had something that they would say to the church. Exactly what was happening in Manasseh's day. Taking what's supposed to be holy. And again, the building isn't holy, the church is the people. But see, the people are coming to church and then in completely embracing the pagan occultic culture of the world and calling it Christian, saying it's a Christian church. Same thing that was happening in Israel. And I gave this to their fathers, but only if they carefully, this is the end of verse 8, if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them, but they paid no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Is our president seducing the nation into doing evil? In every way. And in fact, if anybody tries to bring righteousness to the federal government right now, I mean, what happens to them? They are just canceled. I mean, completely maligned in the media. So the media is doing it. The intelligence agencies are doing it. The Justice Department is doing it. The President of the United States is doing it. And here's the warning. We're going to be just like the Jews. We're headed to judgment. And the Lord spoke by his servants of prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites, going back to the days of Joshua, more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, living in the land of Israel, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. So he's going to bring judgment. And it doesn't happen for another 80 years, close to 80 years. So God is merciful. And why? Because Josiah comes along and Josiah brings revival. And then they don't even have the Bible available in the nation of Judah, in Judah. When King Josiah becomes king, he doesn't even have the scrolls of the law of God to go to. It's gone. They got rid of them. And we should learn from this. And people are starting to, I've been warning about this for years. You better make sure you have a good Bible. And you have some hidden away. Because if we're here long enough before the rapture occurs, where the government does what it really wants to do, and that is completely shut down free speech associated with God having free speech to us, which is through his word, then they're going to get rid of it. And if you're thinking that you're going to be able to always have it on your phone, you better think again. You know, I don't need a Bible. I got it. I can carry it with me wherever I go. They can shut that internet Bible off in a flash. You don't want to rely on that. You want to have a hard copy of the Bible and you have one stuffed away someplace, maybe in an ammo can buried in your yard. I want an ammo can. Why? You want to bury some ammo? No, I want to bury my Bible in an ammo can, because that's what's more important than the ammo. Well, some people would debate that, but anyway. So this is it's Habakkuk is prophesying 35 years after Manasseh dies. So it took 35 years after Manasseh dies before Habakkuk, and I know there's two ways to say that, and so I'm going to say them both so you can't say, oh, you don't know how to say it. Habakkuk or Habakkuk. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil inside the Lord. In other words, if somebody came against him, he'd just kill him. He would just shed blood of the prophets, etc. Go to verse 18. So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house in the garden of Uzzah. His son Amon reigned in his place. He only lasted a short time. So let's go to 2 Kings 21:1. 2 Kings 21:1. Josiah was 8 years old. 22:1. 2 Kings 22:1. Sorry. Go to 2 Kings 22:1. Now see, if you start out when you're 8 years old, you turn out okay as a king. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Actually, is this one of the places where it's supposed to be 18? Yeah, it could be. Anyway, verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And he was great-great-great-great-grandfather David, as his great-great-grandfather David did. He was a good man, the last good king of Israel, Judah. Go to verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And so Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and read it. So literally, there was not the word of God in the nation. And so Josiah knew enough to say, get those idols out of the temple and clean it up. And so they're cleaning it up, and back in some, you know, dingy place of the temple behind the Ashtar idol, they found, oh, here's a scroll. It's the scroll of the law of God. And so they read it and they go, wow. And then they brought it to King Josiah. And he read it and he tore his clothes. It says, then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. And you can imagine, you know, we've been going through the law in our past studies, and all of a sudden he goes, oh, we're not supposed to worship idols. We're not supposed to do what the nations around us do. We're not supposed to be involved in sexual immorality. It's an abomination. Embrace this and this. And he just ripped his clothes and he goes, God, we've sinned against you. And that's why it's so important when we do talk to our culture to say, this is what God's word says. Because if there's any humility at all, like there was in Josiah, then it cuts you to the heart. It's the word of God that cuts your heart. We don't tell people, you know, I think it's wrong to do this. It's what does God say? If God says this is an abomination, well, I don't care what your God says. Well, my God actually is the creator of the universe, and he's going to bring judgment if you don't want to listen to it. Oh, well, you don't care. We're going to get rid of your God. God is dead, and we're going to make sure he stays that way. He's alive, and he's watching, and he knows what you're saying. And we just tell him the truth. And then he was so cut to the heart, he went to somebody and said in verse 13, go inquire of the Lord for me, prophetess, for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord, because he read the part in Deuteronomy where it says, you're going to have wrath come upon you if you do these things that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. And then go to verse 16, this prophetess lady, Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. Judgment's coming. And then going to verse 18. But as for the king of Judah, Josiah, who has sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and you wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I bring to this place. So they brought back word to the king. Now, does that apply to us? Now, here's where we can, you know, God is saying, the judgment's not going to come on you because you humbled yourself. You tore your clothes and you knew that this is the word of God and it's going to come true. And so I'm going to take you out. By death, I'm going to take you out before the judgment comes. Well, Ezekiel says something very similar in Ezekiel chapter 9 or 11, where judgment, now in Ezekiel, he's in Babylon. He's already been taken to Babylon. But Babylon has not completely destroyed Jerusalem yet. And so he is a prophet to the already taken away to Babylon Jews. And he's being told what's going on in Jerusalem. And he sees this vision where, God comes, the angels come, and God is saying, hey, you angels with an inkhorn, go and put a mark of God on the forehead of everyone in this city who grieves about what they're seeing. Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk, God, look at what's happening. We're sinning against you. Our country is just totally trashed. The violence that I see, the lack of justice, the lack of law and order, and people are raping and pillaging and killing each other. And God, and he goes, anybody that's grieved by that, put a mark on them. And they're going to be spared. I'm not going to let them be judged when I bring Nebuchadnezzar against Judah. And how did that happen? They were told by Jeremiah, go to Babylon. Just defect to Babylon. Don't stay here and try and defend America. I'm going to change it now. Don't think you're going to just defend America. Because for them it was Jerusalem. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. And so don't listen to the people say, you're a traitor. If you go to Babylon, you're a traitor. Don't listen to that. Go here and you save your soul. So the people that had a fear of God, they ended up being the survivors. Because everybody that stayed to defend Jerusalem, they all died. And so he preserved a remnant. Do we think that we're going to save the world? Do we think we're going to turn around this global deception? And what are we grieved by what we're seeing? God-fearing people are. The party people go, bring it on more. We want more. And so they're not grieved. They're going to go into judgment. We're grieved, and he puts a mark on us. And the day that the trumpet blasts, we're going to be gone. Our escape plan is not to defect to Babylon. God has told us what our escape plan is. It's the trumpet blast of God and calling us up. And then we're going to be with Jesus forever. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And then he's going to bring judgment to this world. Just like what was experienced by Habakkuk when he was seeing these things. Surely you'll go in peace. So they brought the word of back to the king. So go to 2 Kings 23:7. And I know this is, wow, we're going to just do background today. Okay, 2 Kings, we got a little bit more background, 23:7. Go back to 2 Kings 23:7 to say, Josiah, then he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons. What is that talking about? When Josiah read the word of God and he saw what was happening in his country because of his grandfather, he said, okay, I'm cleaning up. And what do you want to do? Get rid of the perverted person booths? All the homosexual bars and all homosexuality was shut down by force of the king. That were in the house of, and the house of the Lord. I mean, this was homosexual booths in the house of the Lord. Like having homosexual accolades in a church building. Where the women wove hangings for the wooden images, other perverted images that were there. Go to verse 10. And he defiled Topheth, which is the valley to the south of Jerusalem, where they would burn their children in the valley of the son of Hinnon, that no man might make his son or daughter pass through the fire. What did he shut down? Planned Parenthood. He cleaned clock with the edict of the government king. You kind of wish you had a king, as long as you have a good king. If you had a king that's a good king, we're shutting it down.
We will.
Yeah. We will have a good king. And so he prevented any more killing of children. Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger was aroused against Judah. Why? Because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. And you know what else we know? And it's because God was blessed by Josiah. But Josiah, we can tell from the context of what happens immediately afterwards. But it's not like the king was, yes, finally we have, the whole nation wasn't saying, yes, finally we're shutting down this perversion. We can tell, they had the attitude of, man, when are we going to get rid of him? There was the people that had the fear of God. We know that. But the majority of the nation was still, you know, man, we're going to have to wait until he's gone to party again, like they wanted to. And as soon as his son took over, and he has the pulse of the nation, and his son says, okay, it's party time, daddy's gone. And that's what they did. And from then on, they had nothing but wicked kings until God destroyed them. One more, 2 Kings 24:1. And what would happen if somebody tried to, let's say that by some miracle, some God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Bible-reading, Bible-loving Christian took charge in America and did what Josiah did. And let's say he's got body armor on. And he's got, but he starts making these edicts of what to do to clean up. We're gonna get rid of all entertainment that glorifies perversion, sexual perversion. All of it's gonna be shut down. All the movie theater, nothing is gonna go that's gonna be perverted. Sexual immorality, astropoles. And we're gonna get rid of all the abortion clinics. Oh man. People would quit their jobs and everything and do whatever they would. The non-militia people would go learn how to shoot a gun and join the militia. They would take it over. And I bet you that's the way it was in the days of Josiah, except, he was the king. And they had a different way of looking at things, and they just waited till he was gone. 2 Kings 24:1. In his, Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years. You owe me money. You now are not king of your country. You are like a state of Babylon. Then he turned and rebelled against him, and the Lord sent against him raiding bands of Chaldeans, bands of Syrians, bands of Moabites. Yeah, had people that were against the nation. And bands of people of Ammon. And he sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. So Babylon sent an invasion of people from different countries into the nation to wipe it out and destroy its Jewish heritage. This is an article written, what's today? 26? 20 what? 27th. This is September 25. The inevitable consequences of the alien invasion by the Bayou Renaissance man. And you know what? The globalists, which are Babylon, are using billions of dollars of tax money and charity money through the Catholic Church, Catholic Charities, etc. You wonder, how are we getting infiltrated with millions of people? You don't travel from Central America all the way to, the border and go across without food, clothing, and shelter, and all that takes money. And these are people that don't have any money. That's why they're coming to America, right? No, they're coming to America because they're given debit cards. They're giving loaded with money, clothes, transportation to come into this country to destroy it. In the same way, Babylon said, wait, we're going to soften you up before we come with our armies. We're going to soften you up by sending aliens from your surrounding nations and to come inside of you and just destroy you from within. This is an amazing article. And he doesn't have any, he's actually the idle musings of a former military man, former computer geek, medically retired pastor, and now full-time writer. He's a medically retired pastor that gives no biblical insight at all to what's going on. So I added my own. And this is what it says. I believe this is an accurate analysis of what is happening at our border. I would like to add that the reason behind this invasive curse is sin. What is the real reason behind it? Is it because the Democrats are in charge? No. It's because of sin. And God promises, you sin to the Jews, he said, and it can't apply to us. If you do this, this, and this, then the alien will rule among you, and you will become the tail, and he will become the head. For the most part, Americans have turned their back against God, and judgment is upon us. The globalists inspired by Satan are being used to destroy America in order to set up the global kingdom of the Antichrist prophesied in Daniel and Revelation. Since the nation has no intention of repenting, I don't see it anyway. Is that too emphatic of a statement? Since the nation has no intention of repenting, there is no stopping this train. There's not revival. It's not going to stop. The truly born-again believer in Jesus does not have their trust in America or the Constitution. We have our trust in Jesus as our Savior and thus have citizenship in heaven when this temporary life on earth is over. Those Christians who disagree and consider this view to be treasonous think they can turn it around using the barrel of a gun. Time will prove them wrong. We must preach the gospel with greater fervor than ever because the door is about to go shut. And that's the handout that will be posted on our website today or tomorrow. And you know what makes me write that is everything we're reading here. It's the biblical history. People that Christians, and I mean real Christians, they have this view of saving America and saving, just like some of the Jews had that view of saving Jerusalem and saving it when God had said to the prophets, he goes, no, it's going down because of sin. So he sent these raining bands to destroy Judah, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants the prophets, and then I want to emphasize, including Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk is told by God, this is what's going to happen before it happened. Surely the commandment of the Lord, this came upon Judah to remove them from his sight because of the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he had done, and also because of the innocent blood that he had shed, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. And we see that today. There is innocent blood all over the world, and it's going to get worse in ways that we can't even fathom here in America. And I don't know how much of it we're going to see, but like I said in this note, a true Christian should double down. There's not much time left to share the gospel. And I just heard a praise God that somebody was witnessing to gave their life to Jesus. And so then I said, in the email response, I go, praise Jesus. It's why God has still left us down here, because the nets aren't quite full. But when the nets are full, then we're going to be gone. And that's our mission. And I love America. Used to be in the military to defend America. But based on the word of God and the prophecies of what I see discerning, everything that I said is now in my mind. I'm trying to lose my affections and shift them all on for what Jesus has told me my affection should be, which is for the lost, no matter where they are, no matter who they are. And I have no hope that we're going to turn this around. And we went kind of long, but we got done with the background, and we'll start and pick it up there in Habakkuk chapter 1 next week. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that without it we'd be orphans, left without any knowledge of our Father, our true Father. And God, as we do realize that your word is so clear, and it applies to us thousands of years after Habakkuk. And after the Kings and Chronicles history, we see a repeat of history. And then, as someone said, the only thing that we learn from history about is that we never learn from history. And God, here we are, and the people, the masses, Lord, have not learned that they must turn their hearts towards their Creator and to turn away from Satan. And instead, they are doing what all those before them have done to their own demise, is the exact opposite. And they're turning to the lusts and pleasures that Satan promises to give them instead of going to the promises of everlasting life of sticking with you or going to you. And we just pray that you would just help us, God, to be those people that the inkhorn is putting a mark on our heads till the day we die, where we grieve and agonize in this temporary world that we're living in as aliens, looking for and waiting and watching for the day you take us home to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your only Son, no sin too high, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a frog. Sacrifice the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod. And to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me His precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Amen. He took away our sins so we can have life everlasting. God bless you, keep you in His care. Let's go out into that dark world and shine the light of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.